What if Shakespeare had it wrong? To be or not to be, that is the question. That's from Hamlet's, maybe Shakespeare's, most famous soliloquy. I had to memorize the whole speech for sophomore English, and I can still remember every word. I didn't give it much thought back then. I just wanted to get all the words right and collect my A. But what if Shakespeare and Hamlet were asking the wrong question? What if the real question is not whether to be, but how to be? The thing is, I don't know if I would have asked myself that question, how to be, if it wasn't for Hamlet. Maybe I would have gone along being the Allison Healy I had been, doing just what I was supposed to do, which, in this case, was going to see Hamlet. God, it's so hot. I thought it wasn't supposed to get this hot in England. My friend Melanie loops her blonde hair into a bun and fans her sweaty neck. What time are they opening the doors, anyhow? I look over at Ms. Foley, who Melanie and pretty much the rest of our group has christened our fearless leader behind her back. But she is talking to Todd, one of the history grad students co-leading the trip, probably telling him off for something or other. In the Teen Tours Cultural Extravaganza brochure that my parents presented to me upon my high school graduation 2 months ago, the Todd-like graduate students were called historical consultants and were meant to bolster the educational value of the Teen Tours. But so far, Todd has been more valuable in bolstering the hangovers, taking everyone out drinking almost every night. I'm sure tonight everyone else will go extra wild. It is, after all, our last stop. Stratford-upon-Avon, a city full of culture, which seems to translate into a disproportionate number of pubs named after Shakespeare and frequented by people in blaring white sneakers. Miss Foley is wearing her own snow-white sneakers, along with a pair of neatly pressed blue jeans and a Teen Tours polo shirt, as she reprimands Todd. Sometimes at night, when everyone else is out on the town, she will tell me she ought to call the head office on him. But she never seems to follow through. I think partly because when she scolds, he flirts. Even with Ms. Foley. Especially with Ms. Foley. I think it starts at 7, I say to Melanie. I look at my watch, another graduation present. Thick gold, the back engraved going places. It weighs heavy against my sweaty wrist. It's 6:30 now. Geez, the Brits do love to line up, or queue, or whatever. They should take a lesson from the Italians who just mob, or maybe the Italians should take a lesson from the Brits. Melanie tugs on her miniskirt, her bandage skirt, she calls it, and adjusts her cami top. God, Rome. It feels like a year ago. Rome? Was it 6 days ago? Or 16? All of Europe has become a blur of airports, buses, old buildings, and prefix menus serving chicken in various kinds of sauce. When my parents gave me this trip as a big high school graduation present, I was a little reluctant to go. But Mom had reassured me that she'd done her research. Teen Tours was very well regarded, noted for its high-quality educational component, as well as the care that was taken of its students. I would be well looked after. You'll never be alone, my parents had promised me. And, of course, Melanie was coming too. And they were right. I know everyone else gives Ms. Foley crap for the eagle eye she keeps on us, but I appreciate how she is always doing a head count. Even appreciate how she disapproves of the nightly jaunts to local bars, though most of us are of legal drinking age in Europe. Not that anyone over here seems to care about such things anyway. I don't go to the bars. I usually just go back to the hotel rooms Melanie and I share and watch TV. You can almost always find American movies. The same kinds of movies which, back at home, Melanie and I often watch together on weekends in one of our rooms with lots of popcorn. I'm roasting out here, Melanie moans. It's like middle of the afternoon still. I look up. The sun is hot, and the clouds race across the sky. I like how fast they go, nothing in their way. You can tell from the sky that England's an island. At least it's not pouring like it was when we got here. Do you have a pony holder? Melanie asks. No, of course you don't. I bet you're loving your hair now. My hand drifts to the back of my neck, which still feels strange, oddly exposed. The teen tour had begun in London, and on the second afternoon, we'd had a few free hours for shopping, which I guess qualifies as culture. During that time, Melanie had convinced me to get my hair bobbed. It was all part of her pre-college reinvention scheme, which she'd explained to me on the flight over. No one at college will know that we were AP automatons. I mean, we're too pretty to just be brainiacs. And at college, everyone will be smart. So we can be cool and smart. Those two things will no longer be mutually exclusive. For Melanie, this reinvention apparently meant the new heavy-on-skimp wardrobe she'd blown half her spending money on at Topshop, and the truncating of her name from Melanie to Mel, something I can't quite remember to do, no matter how many times she kicks me under the table. For me, I guess it meant the haircut she talked me into. I'd freaked out when I'd seen myself. I've had long black hair and no bangs for as long as I can remember. And the girl staring back at me in the salon mirror didn't look anything like me. At that point, we'd only been gone 2 days, but my stomach went hollow with homesickness. I wanted to be back in my bedroom at home with my familiar peach walls, my collection of vintage alarm clocks. I'd wondered how I was ever going to handle college if I couldn't handle this.